Welcome back, folks, to our 13th installment of Bluish Podcast on this beautiful 80-degree day in Oklahoma. So I am actually headed right outdoors after this. I feel so alive when it's hot. The cold in me, I do not be my best self in the wintertime. I just don't. However, the cold weather fits. I've been doing my thing with them this winter, okay? I really have. When it comes to a summer fit, I don't know. I mean, you know what? I always make a fit shake. But I will say I do like toying with the winter fits. Yeah, just love it. So I'm so excited to get outside and enjoy this day, get some vitamin D, get some grounding in. It's beautiful. Today in my cup, I have kefir mixed with water. This is so good for gut health. K-E-F-I-R. It has probiotics, prebiotics, autobiotics that your gut needs to function properly. When I was drinking this every day, along with the probiotic and eating Greek yogurt, my skin was glowing. Like, everything was functioning properly. I said, okay, so gut health really is the issue here. And I think all them hot chips, chocolate covered donuts, all the things that I put in my body 10 years ago really messed up my gut microbiome. And so I'm getting back on track. Praise the Lord. So I am so excited to introduce a new segment for this podcast episode and moving forward. Hopefully you guys ask me more questions. Like, I would like this to be a weekly thing. Please don't be scared to ask me questions. So I have put a new section on my website, bluish.com. Make sure you add the dash in there. But there's an ask me portion on the website where you can ask me any question, and it is fully anonymous. Fully anonymous. You don't have to put in an email, phone number, nothing, name, nothing. It's fully anonymous. I want you to guys ask me questions. Ask me questions that you want some insight on. Ask me questions about me that you want to know about me. It can be juicy. It can be, oh my gosh, controversial, whatever. I want you guys to ask more questions. Please do not be scared to ask me questions, okay? So we're going to dive right in today. The first question that I got on here is, it's a little raunchy, but hey, that's what we do in the gray area on Bluish, okay? We let it all slide. This person said, can you give advice and hygiene tips to these females that be out here funky? You know what? Yeah, I can actually. I actually can. I think we as a society, and I can't speak for everybody, this is just from my observations as a biracial woman in America. People tend to focus more on external factors than internal factors when it comes to hygiene. And really, you gotta focus internally, or else the external things, it's just putting a Band-Aid on it, right? You use a 72-hour antiperspirant and you're still musty. There is an internal problem going on that you need to fix. Maybe you need some kefir. Maybe you need to start first thing in the morning, instead of drinking the coffee with the poisonous creamer that has no real cream in it, maybe you should drink you some lukewarm water with some lemon and some olive oil. That will clean your gut out first thing in the morning, baby. If you're backed up, baby, warm water with olive oil, about at least a tablespoon, 2 tablespoons maybe if you want more. Baby, that lemon juice, olive oil, hot water mix, clean you right up. Skin will be glowing, okay? When it comes to being funky in America, I really do think you got to focus internally first. And also, there's so many products out there that are so toxic, and they're endocrine disruptors and all those things. Download an app like Yucca, Y-U-K-A, or EWG, Environmental Working Group. Scan the items that you're buying at the store to see if they're toxic or not, or like what their percentage is on the app, or if you should be putting it on your body. Now, I will say, for me, I've been using natural deodorants for about 2 years now. And I will say it is a struggle. The ones with the chemicals in them just work better. Like, they just do. But for me, it's about balancing. I'm not musty, but you kind of got to reapply a little bit more, or you got to prepare better. So that's really a tough, it depends on how you want to go about it. Maybe you do need a clinical strength deodorant, or maybe you can get by with natural deodorant, or maybe You just need to scrub a little bit more and you need to detox your insides first. Because when you're clean on the inside, your body is not going to expel those scents and pheromones the same way as they would. Like, we're humans. Everybody got BO. Everybody got a pheromone. Everybody got a thing. Now, for me, I should not be walking up to you and your breath is making me I can't talk to you. Why are we not self-conscious? You know when your breath is hot. You know when your armpits is hot, okay? Be mindful when you're around people. Do not subject people to your scents if you know it's not acting right. Maybe you need to brush your teeth more than 2 times a day. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you need to carry around some deodorant. Maybe you need to shower morning and night. You know, it depends on how you're living your life. And for women, be mindful, okay? Don't be at Pilates class knowing that it's hot down there. If your pH is off, be mindful, okay? You might be nose blind, okay? You really might be nose blind. And I just want you to really be mindful of that, okay? But other than that, yeah, when it comes to being a little funky, let's focus internally first. Let's start small. Let's start with the clean eating and see if that solves the problem, okay? And if it don't, it really what it is, if we really want to get technical and ancestral, humans are entirely too clean. Now, this is not something that I necessarily agree with because we've all been programmed to be this clean. I could not go back to the roots and not shower for weeks at a time. I couldn't do it. But they were used to that. Like, all those natural senses, but, like, they were used to it, I guess. So now we're just so clean, it's like, dang, you can't even be a tinge musty, you know? So it's just all complex. It's all complex. The next question I have is, what would be your advice for those who struggle with their sexuality? Now, this is a very broad question because I'm not sure how this person is struggling with their sexuality. Do they want to be? Do they not want to be? Is there sexual trauma? Is there not sexual trauma? You know? So I'm just going to answer this pretty generally. And I feel like this is my answer for a lot of things in life. You have to be at more peace with your life than anybody else around you. And I think if you are struggling with your sexuality, it's because you are taking into consideration too many external factors that have nothing to do with your inner peace. Okay? At the end of the day, you have to do what is peaceful for you to have a life that you can bear. Right? And if you feel like you're struggling to bear with your life because of your sexuality and because of what people will think, society, the church, whatever, you're going to have to weigh that out. What is more important? You being at peace with yourself or other people being at peace with how you're living your life and you're over there not at peace with it? I'm going to take the first one. I am a big, 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 big believer and I don't give up about what anybody thinks about what I'm doing with my life, especially my parents, especially my friends. Especially, I don't care because it's my life. I have to be at peace with it. And it doesn't have to make sense for everybody else. And the people that truly love you, truly care about you, are going to be okay with that. And I think a lot of you will be surprised to find that your family will be more supportive than maybe you're thinking. I'm not a parent yet, but from what I've heard, parental love is a love like no other. And I think even if your parents have really strong views on those topics, I think at the end of the day, most of them would learn to accept it. Now, it may be rocky the first few months, but I think eventually they will come around. And if they don't, you have to remember this. Your parents are a vessel. They were a vessel to bring you into this existence. They do not have to remain a part of your life for your entire life. They do not. And I'm speaking to the people out there that have wounds and that have strained relationships with their parents or whatever. Your parents do not have to remain a part of your life for your whole life. I know what the Bible says. I know what has been said throughout generations, what people say about the elders, right? But it has to be a mutually beneficial relationship between parent and child at a certain point. And if they're not providing you with any fruit in your life, it might be time to step away from that dynamic a little bit. You could still respect them. you could still love them. And another truth can also be, but I can't be in their presence because they're not at peace with how I'm living my life. And I think a lot of parents get that mixed up. Like, you did your part in raising your child. Now you got to let them do what they feel like they need to do with their life. And you have to be okay with that. God has called you to what? Love your neighbors and love God. That goes for children. You love your children without judgment. Okay? And this is where surrounding yourself with faith-based spiritual practices are so important. Because it's so simple to just love people, and we make it so complicated and give so many reasons as to why we can't be okay with something, or why we can't love somebody, or why this, that, and the third, okay? So you and God, you're going to always have God regardless of your sexuality, okay? Regardless of your religious trauma, regardless of what the church has told you, regardless of whatever, you still have God. That is you and God's journey to figure out together. And you do not have to have all these external voices in your head telling you what your journey is supposed to look like with your sexuality, okay? Like I said, it can get so much deeper than this. It really, there's so many other factors we can go deeper into. So please, if you want me to dive a little deeper on something, please come ask another question, because I would love to dive a little deeper into this. And I hope I answered your question. If I didn't, come back and ask some more. But at the end of the day, baby, you do what you got to do for you. If you're confused or you're feeling this out in the third, pray about it. Pray about it. God will give you an answer. And I hope that it is the answer that you were anticipating. And if it's not, keep praying through it. Keep having faith through it, and keep believing that God and you have a certain story that you are working out in this lifetime together. And He's not going to abandon you while this story is unfolding, okay? Whichever way the cookie crumbles, I wish you so much peace and so much happiness and so much joy. And I pray that you don't shame yourself. I pray that you feel like you can be you, and it's okay to be you, okay? You're going to be okay. You're going to figure it out, baby. So that's two questions I have this week. I truly would love to have some more. So please, please, please ask me some more. I am trying so hard to get my grandpa on the podcast this month. My grandpa is 96 years old. He is a Black man. It's Black History Month, and I say that because his brother was a Tuskegee Airman. And I would love for my grandpa to come on and talk about his brother's experiences and also my grandpa's experiences. He was in the Air Force as well. He wasn't a Tuskegee Airman, but he was a captain. And then he went on in life to be an air traffic controller. And he told me a story one time about American Airlines not hiring him because he was too short. Now, that don't even make sense. You're sitting now flying a plane. Anyway, American Airlines, cut me and my family reparations. Anyway, but you know, God came through for my grandpa. Hello. Air traffic controller for the FAA. Did his big one. Okay. Anywho. So yes, I'm trying so hard to get my grandpa on the podcast, but you know how older people are. They'd be like, what is this? Who blah, blah, blah. Just come support me in being the biggest podcast in the world, the biggest talk show host in the world. Support me in the vision. So I'm really trying. I really am. I'm hoping for the next episode I will have convinced him to come on and talk a little bit about our story. Just talk about his life. He has lived such a life. Such a life. And I think he has so many great stories to tell. And so I'm going to get him on. I will. I want to talk about the Tuskegee Airmen. I want to talk about the Tuskegee experiments. I want to talk about he lived through all these things going on in time. And I would love to hear a firsthand account. And I think you guys would too. I'm actually challenging myself this month to fast from lyrical music to get a deeper connection with my mind, right? I feel like I always have a song playing in my head. And so I think this will be really interesting. I'm actually doing a program, and this is one of the challenges. And I will talk more about this program as I go through it and as I do all the things and the experiences. But so far, it's really interesting. I'm learning a lot. But since I'm not going to be listening to lyrical music this month, I'm going to share with you guys some of the top songs that have impacted me and I think are some of the greatest songs of all time. Of course, maybe that's a little biased, but truly, I think these songs are amazing. There are songs that have no lyrics. I forgot to add that in there. These are some of the top songs that have no lyrics. And I have a playlist on Spotify that I have compiled. It's called Music in Totality. And I have to tell you, I got the name of this playlist because I love Donny Hathaway. To me, he is one of the greatest, greatest artists of all time. And for me, I judge an artist based on the entire way they handle music. This man was not only a singer, he was a composer, a songwriter, everything. He composed. He was a genius, and he died when he was 33. He fell out of a window, and he suffered from schizophrenia. I think I've talked about this before. Anyway, one of the most beautiful songs, I cry every time I listen to it. It is his rendition of I Love the Lord, He Heard My Cry, parts 1 and 2. The entire song is instrumental, but it is so well composed, so well. The melodies there, I say it's instrumental. There's like some portions where it's like a choir singing in the background. In my head, when I listen to it, I can envision it's somebody laying on their deathbed, like about to, like they're dying. Their family's all around them, like they're about to go. And you can hear in the music the exact moment when this person dies, wakes up, and they're entering into the gates of heaven. That is power in music. That is true musical genius, where you can create a visual representation of something with no words. I love the Lord, He heard my cry, parts 1 and 2. Save me, redeem me, take me, let me in. Oh my gosh, I'm here. Wow, the golden gates. It is the most, probably, I would say the most beautiful song I've ever heard in my life. And that's saying a lot, okay? Because y'all know I love Mariah. Y'all know I love Mariah. I think she is the greatest of all time. However, I am all about truth, okay? I am all about being fair. That might be one of the most beautiful songs of all time, okay? The next one I have on here is Angel, The Prelude by Mariah Carey. Now, I have to tell you, Mariah is also a musical genius. She is a writer, producer, singer, all of that. Throughout her discography, all of her albums, she has preludes, interludes, reprise. When you could play with your music like that and be fun and like, I love it. And I think Mariah said something in an interview now, how music nowadays doesn't have the same substance in it. It's something that I don't really enjoy with music these days, is I feel like artists are just pushing and pushing and pushing music out, pushing music out, pushing music out. And it's ruining the quality of the music. Back in the day, you would go 2, 3, 4 years between album releases. And your song was still, you know, I think our society has become so fast paced that we are forgetting to slow down and savor, truly savor what's going on around us, including the music that we already have. And so this song is called Angel, The Prelude. And she has a song called Angel's Cry on this album. This is the Memoirs of an Imperfect Angel album. Great album, came out in 2009. I remember listening to it. I was in sixth grade, baby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this song is just her singing in her whistle tones, but she's like being really angelic with it. And there's like a beat to it. And it's just really pretty. And then the song Angels Cry is about two lovers who broke up. And basically, like, they really didn't want to or need to. And that's why the angels cry when we say goodbye. Because why? Anyway, another Donny Hathaway has so many great, great, great songs without music. Newpo, which is Newport, but saying it in the way that they would say it that lived there. And this is his rendition live at the Newport Jazz Festival. It's so good. It's so upbeat. Valdez in the Country. He has a way. Oh my gosh, this man is a genius. I get hyped up every time I talk about it. When you listen to the song Valdez in the Country, you feel like you are in Valdez in the Country. That is artistry. Again, you know how good, how in tune you have to be with melodies and song and music and the frequencies of music to make somebody feel like they are somewhere else that they are not from a song? It's insane. Now, this song, I think, was a little bit, I don't know if he was already going through schizophrenia or if this was prophetic or what. But it's called Voices Inside, Everything is Everything. And it's mostly instrumental, but then in some parts of the song, they do say that. Like there's people in the background singing that. And it sounds like it's a little chaotic. Like, oh my gosh, there's voices in my head. I can't stop them. So that song's really interesting. Daydreaming by Roy Ayers. It's my Virgo twin. We were born on the same day. Daydreaming. I think Aretha's version of this song is most popular. He's the kind of guy that would say, hey, baby, let's get away. Let's go someplace. He's the kind. So anyway, Daydreaming by Aretha Franklin. Go listen to that one if you want to hear the lyrics. But this is his rendition with no lyrics. I love to listen to it because I've sang the song so much that when I listen to it, I'm just like, feels like I'm doing karaoke. Days of Wine and Roses by Wes Montgomery. Listen, these old artists that just played an instrument and was in the... baby, they knew how to talk through an instrument. And I mean, you can dang near hear the words that aren't being said. This one is good. So Days of Wine and Roses by Wes Montgomery. And then another one that I love that my grandpa... Me and my grandpa share Spotify, and he gets on here and he will add stuff to my like songs, and I'll be like, oh, this is actually, you know what, I mess with this. That's All by Ben Webster. That is a great one too. He played a heck out that saxophone. One thing about me, baby, I love a saxophone. I love a saxophone. So I've actually shared this playlist with you guys because I think it would be good to challenge yourself to... This would be a good visualization practice in like just helping your mind maybe to get a little bit more creative, listening to songs that have no lyrics. And these are all my Black artists. So, hey, Black History Month, baby. In totality, music in totality, Black History Year, every day in totality. All my playlists. Hello, but I do. Hey, it's not just Black people on my Spotify, but mostly. Say about 70, 89%. I love it. I love it. So I will link that in the description. I will put it on the Instagram page. Oh my gosh. So good. Music in totality. So I'm really excited to challenge myself this month listening to music with no words. My gosh. And it's, I think there were a lot of other things that we were challenged to do this month. And surprisingly enough, that's going to be the hardest one for me. But there's so many other things on that list where I'm like, oh. Everybody else probably think all this other stuff is hard. No, this is what's hard for me because when I tell you, music has been my best friend since I was a kid. Like when you're an only child, baby, and I know this is not just for only children, but for me and my experiences, like everybody had a CD player. Everybody's listening to music. But like, if I was home alone, baby, music's playing. Even to this day, I wake up, music is blasting on my speaker. I had to ask my neighbors, I said, does it ever get too loud? And they're like, oh no, we don't ever hear it. Music is really just such a big part of my life, and something I woke up to a few years ago is how important and how it is to really watch what you're listening to, because the frequency of music can affect you negatively. The lyrics can affect you negatively. It can affect your subconscious mind, all those things. I think that's why I mostly listen to old music, Mariah. Even some Mariah songs I've had to like cut back on because I'm like, okay, sis, I don't align with what you're speaking right now. This is how I feel about music and why I disagree with the secular, only listening to the gospel, whatever thing is, it depends on how strong your mind is, right? If you're going to listen to music about sex, drugs, money, whatever, whoopty boom bam, and you think you're going to let that infiltrate your morals and values, then yeah, you probably shouldn't be listening to it, right? But if you have discernment and you know how to separate it and you have enough control of your mind to be like, okay, this is just a song, baby. Like, I'm just vibing. Then cool. Do your big one. But you and God talk about it. You decide what music is best for you to listen to in the season of life that you are in, right? Music has just been my best friend all the time. I love music. I think I'd rather have music than TV if I had to pick. Yeah, for sure. It is time for The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. 1 through 96. Page 19. Come on, Dan. Price is Right, y'all. We're going to get to a point in this podcast. We're gonna do some trivia and some game show type stuff, baby. Because you know how I get down with a game show. Okay. The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. Page 19. Then said a rich man, speak to us of giving. And he answered, you give but little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. For what are your possessions but things you keep and guard for fear you may need them tomorrow? And tomorrow, What shall tomorrow bring to the overprudent dog burying bones in the trackless sand as he follows the pilgrims to the holy city? And what is fear of need but need itself? Is not dread of thirst when your well is full, the thirst that is unquenchable? There are those who give little of the much which they have, and they give it for recognition, and their hidden desire makes their gifts unwholesome. I'm going to go ahead and read the next page of this for context, okay? Because, yeah, we need it. So page 20 of The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. And there are those who have little and give it all. There are the believers in life and the bounty of life, and their coffer is never empty. There are those who give with joy, and that joy is their reward. And there are those who give with pain, and that pain is their baptism. And there are those who give and know not pain in giving, nor do they seek joy, nor give with mindfulness of virtue. They give as in yonder valley the myrtle breathes its fragrance into space. Through the hands of such as these, God speaks, and from behind their eyes he smiles upon earth. It is well to give when asked, but it is better to give unasked, through understanding. And to the open-handed, the search for one who shall receive is joy greater than giving. And is there aught you would withhold? And there's a picture of a woman, their hands open. Well, I would assume. She looks like she has some tittage. Yeah, and there's no, yeah, extremity there. This is so powerful because I am a firm believer in giving. There's a time in my life, especially being an only child, where I was very selfish. And it's something I've grown out of, praise God, because I love to give. I love to give. I love to help. I love to be somebody. I just want to pour. Now, I like to be poured into as well. But I truly am one of those people, I give with no bound. Like, there's no strings attached. I'm giving because I want to give it to you and I want to bless you. And I think a lot of people with their businesses, especially when they start out, don't do enough giving. I think we ask for far too much sometimes. And we're not even at a place where we even need to be asking folks to be doing all that. So I'm a firm believer in giving, giving, giving. And God has told us when you give, you receive tenfold, baby. So instead of being selfish and doing the most and asking, asking, take it, take it, take it, give. And watch how God pours back into you through others, through whatever, miracles, whatever. God gonna take care of those that take care of his children, okay? So give. That was page 19 and 20 of The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. I redid my bookshelf, looking a little ratchet. So I redid it. And I bought more books today. And I'm running out of space. You know what that means? So, journal prompt this week. What can I do to be more giving? And what has the programming of my life from my parents, my guardians, society told me about giving? And how do I want to function within those parameters? Do I feel like I don't receive enough? Do I feel like I give too much? Is there an imbalance? Am I looking at it the wrong way? Because sometimes you can give and give and give and be like, oh my gosh, God, I've been giving for years and years and I haven't seen a return on my investment. And I don't mean that in a sense of people are doing it like, oh, what do we mean? But like, when you give, you always have faith that God is going to return to you in some way. So that may look different for everybody. It might be, baby, a pile of gold. And I don't mean actual gold, maybe. We probably got a pile of gold built up somewhere. And God is just, ooh, that when that moment comes, maybe you're going to be like, oh my gosh, look at God. I done gave and gave and sowed and poured freely. And it all came back. You're going to be so thankful that you gave. And even when it looked like nothing was being given to you, you just wait and you be patient. There's a time and a place and a season and a reason for everything. And I hope you guys are working on your faith over your fear. And what do we say? Worry is a prayer alarm. Worry and anxiety is faith in the negative. Okay? We don't know what God is doing till we know what he's doing. And that should be enough for you to keep going and to keep having faith and to keep having discipline and to keep on working out your story with the good Lord. Okay? I know you're not talking about giving up. I know you're not talking bad about yourself. I know you're not shaming yourself. Lock in. Okay? The world is sick right now, and I know it's a little bit hard to navigate, baby, but you keep going because God has a plan. And it's a little dusty right now. I know it. It's so much more important now than ever to remain in your spiritual practices, in your discipline, in your faith. God is tapping in with the chosen ones. God is tapping in with the ones doing the work. And if you're paying attention, then you're being divinely guided right now, okay? So you have faith in that. And you keep going and you keep being creative and you keep praying about it and you keep believing in the power of God in your life. We might talk about that next episode. Second chances. The beauty of a second chance. Hallelujah. Because next episode will drop around Valentine's Day, baby. And when we drop the episode around Valentine's Day, so excited. We're going to talk about love. Love in the highest, what love really is. Because it's not this surface level mess that y'all been running around here with. And some of y'all have been getting terrible advice. Based on my observation, some of y'all been getting terrible advice when it comes to love. Terrible. And sometimes it's from people that you think know. This is where two truths can exist. I'll use like a parent, for example. This is why it's important to not look at your parents as God. Okay? Your mom or dad could be the most amazing, beautiful woman, man on earth. You could love them so much. Be like, wow, they are so perfect and ideal. And in the same tone, they could be wrong about some stuff. You can have a friend or a mentor that you look up to so much. Oh my gosh, there's so much fruit in their life. There's so much. That's where I want to be. And that truth can be a truth, and it can also be a truth that they're not always right. Okay? This is why God has to remain in the center of everything you do in your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your mentor, in your relationship with your friends, in your relationship with your kids, in your relationship with your spouse. This is why God has to remain at the center, and you have to have that connection with him, and you have to have that discernment. Well, so we'll talk more about love on episode 14 of Bluish. And I'm going to share with you guys my favorite playlist to share. Well, one of them. I always got a playlist. It's called Every Day is Love's Holiday. And it is a curation of love songs that I have curated. So I will put this on Spotify. Sorry, argue with somebody else. On Spotify. So I will share that in the description and on Instagram. So hope you guys have an amazing, amazing, amazing week. And if you're in Oklahoma, it's probably not going to be warm anymore by the time you hear this, but I hope you got outside today. It's so nice to have days like this in the middle of winter, and we should take advantage of them. So I love you guys. Keep going. Spread some joy. Spread some love. Forgive somebody today. And you keep pushing. Love you.